of existence. And I'm going to start with Genesis chapter number 1. Again, if we want people to know about God, we go to what? We go to the Bible. Do not try to just talk to people about God off of your experience with God. I'm not saying that you did not have a legitimate experience of God. I'm saying that when we talk to people about God, we must go to the Bible at some point. At least let that be the foundation of our conversation, because the Bible is what we know about God. Everything that you believe about God. Matter of fact, you should always compare your experience to the Bible. And so we'll talk about that at some other time. So we're going to just look at the question. Sorry. Look at the verse in verse 1. In the beginning, what?
God.
In the beginning of what? In the beginning, period. In the beginning. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of time. In the beginning of our world. The Bible opens up and it starts off and it lets us know in the beginning. If you want to trace everything back, see, we have a beginning. That's why one of the questions was asked by one of the children. It's like, who is God's mother? Because God had to have a beginning in their mind. And because that's how we understand everything. When, how did you get here? There was a mom and there was a dad and they came together. You came into existence, and so we understand everything as having a beginning. We never look at everything and say, that's just been there forever, always has been, you know, always been. We understand. Matter of fact, there's even a discussion, and we'll get to this in just a little while. There's even a discussion among people about where did our world come from, right? You know, there people disagree about whether or not God created the world or whether or not the world was evolved. But do you recognize what is common in both of those? That the world had a beginning. No one's arguing that the world never had a beginning. No one seems to be arguing that the world has always existed. I mean, No one is arguing that the world has always been and has never not been. Everyone's discussion is either did God create us or did we begin through evolution. But the common link in this is that through mankind, we understand at some point in time the world had a beginning. And so our minds think that way. It's ingrained in us. We understand it. And so we had to kind of look here and say, in the beginning, the Bible starts off and says, if you want to know, let's go back. And in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So where did our world come from? Well, our world came when God created it. We are Christians and we believe the Bible's account of that. I believe the Bible's account of that. I assume and hope that you do. Because if I don't believe what the Bible says in the very beginning, it's kind of hard to believe anything it says after that, isn't it? And so are you seeing today that we start with this basis that the Bible tells us in the beginning, God created. But that means that in the beginning of our time, God was already there. So then we have to ask the question, where did God come from? That is a natural question. And I promise you, you have probably asked yourself or asked someone that question at some time. Doesn't mean that you didn't have faith. You could have been a young child that's asking a natural question. Where did God come from? It's a natural response to saying that God created the world. Well, I'm sorry, where did God come from? And then when we see that, we have to recognize that sometimes people have a hard time believing that. And we'll look at that subject as well. Let's look at a couple other things that tell us that. In Psalms chapter number 9, the Bible says, before the mountains were brought forth, and the mountains are always considered as like, if you kind of go back through history and understanding of things, when people refer to the mountains, they see them as the oldest thing, sort of. Does that make sense? That, you know, that's they've been here the longest, or they're the oldest. They're like the mountains are like the grandfather of all things, if you kind of look at stuff. So, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art what? God. So here the psalmist is looking back and he's saying the same thing that we understand as Christians. He's saying before this world was ever formed, he said there was God from everlasting to everlasting. When this world is gone, here's something that's important. We understand this world has a beginning and we also understand it's going to have an end. And we understand that there was a God in the beginning prior to this and there's going to be a God after this. You see, that puts a lot of accountability on us about God. Because he was here before it, he created it, he's going to be here after it. Where he's still going to exist, we're still going to be accountable to him. And so trying to remove God from that scenario is going to get us off the hook with having to obey God. But you know, not everyone's trying to do that. They're just trying to understand, where did God come from? Well, the Bible teaches us in the beginning, God. He was already there. He's without beginning, without ending. The Bible says that he's everlasting. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27, the Bible says the eternal God, what's that word? The eternal God. What does it mean eternal? I already said that. He's always been.
Always will be.
Always will be. Now, as you sit here this morning as a Christian, sitting in a church, listening to a preacher, it is very easy for you to agree with that. It's easy for you to consent to that. But you go back and you got to realize we're trying to talk to a world out here that's not sitting in a church, that's not Christians. And even as Christians sometimes sit in churches, they still go through questions and say, I wonder where God came from. And the Bible tells us God's just always been. He always was, always will be. Now we get to this truth right here. And Christians, we should never be afraid to deal with truth or to deal with the reality of things. Hard to believe. God's always been there. Is that hard to believe? For some people, it really is. At some point in time in your life, it may have been hard to believe. You come to a place by faith today. You know, faith is not really blind faith. We talk about faith and act like, well, you just have to close your eyes to reality and just hope that what you got is real. Faith is putting your faith in something that's real, something that you know, some evidence that's there. So, hard to believe. Let's just be honest. If I'm going to approach someone that's not raised in church, doesn't have a Christian background, I'm going to talk to them about God. They're going to ask me where God came from. What am I going to tell them? God's always been, always will be. And they're just going to go, thanks for selling that for me. Now, they're going to question that, aren't they? And so as Christians, we must be both willing and able to talk to them about it. So let's look at something. The question that they might have, even as young children, everyone has a beginning. If we understand, matter of fact, now I just went Friday, saw Bruce. Bruce is one of the oldest members of our church. Checked in on Miss Ragsdale. I didn't go by there, but I did check with Miss Ragsdale. She's one of the oldest members of our church. These people have been around a long time, but I promise you this, they have not always been around. They had a beginning, right? So everyone has a beginning. Or do they? Is it possible that God does not have a beginning? Is it logical to believe that God does not have a beginning? I want to try to show you today that it is very logical to believe that God does not have a beginning. And it's not as hard to get someone, it's not as hard to get yourself to the place to say, well, you know what? It's not hard. It's logical for me to believe that God has a beginning. It's not that difficult to get your friends or family or person that's questioning you to the place to say, okay, wait a minute. I see what you're saying now. And it is at least logical to be able to believe that God has a beginning. You see, if I don't believe what the Bible says about Him always being, then I'm not going to believe what? Anything else about the Bible. If I believe the Bible is lying about God always being in existence, then I'm probably going to start to question whether or not there is even a God. Right? Are y'all in agreement with that with me today? And so as Christians, we don't like to always discuss that because we feel like it's sacrilegious, but we need to be able to handle it because that's what Christianity is, being able to defend our faith. And defend doesn't mean put our fist up and start fighting with people or put up strong words. It means to lay out the evidence for people to be able to see and remove the obstacles that's hard for them. And so today as Christians, I want us to look here and just say, is it logical to believe that God did not have a beginning? And here's some of the things I go with. If God did not have a beginning, I mean, if God did have a beginning, He's not always been, then what is the logical thing we have to say? Someone or something did what? Someone or something created God. If God is not always been, then someone or something created God. So if someone says, look, I just have a hard time believing that God is always been. Someone or something had to have created Him. And I can't believe in God until I get past that point. Then here's a logical question to ask them. Notice I use the word logical, because I want us to really build it. Let's go with your argument. Not your argument, but let's for sake of argument. Let's go with your argument. Someone created God. Where did that person come from? You see, no matter how far back we go, we're going to have to land at a part that somebody or something was here prior to whatever else was created, right? So if I can believe that someone created God, I have to then say, well, where did that person come from? And if I finally back up enough and say, you know what, I get it. This is just an endless cycle, and I'm going to have to come to the fact that somebody or something was here before we were, then it's logical to assume it could be God. Do y'all see how simple that really was? And how logical. You understand what I mean by logical? It's a good argument. It's not just trying to say, oh, let me just try to twist the fact. What else do you come to? If we have to say God did not always exist, then we have to figure out, well, where did he come from? Did someone or something create him? If so, then how did they get here? So if I can agree and consent to the fact that somewhere before time, there was a being, a power that existed before us. And the only answers that we have is God. And really, it makes sense for me to believe in God and that he's always been here. And I can start there. Then I can start walking through the Bible and believing what else it says about God. And we'll do some of that in just a little while. Let's just say someone did not create God. Okay, let's just say you run into someone, or maybe you're sitting there and you say, okay, let's just say it wasn't someone that created God. Let's just say it's sort of like evolution. You know, evolution, people that believe in evolution believe that the world came together at some point in time. They do not argue that the world's always been. Matter of fact, their argument is very opposite of that. They try to show that the world has deteriorated, that the world is winding down, that it had to have a starting point. And so we start to see this stuff. So let's just say something created God. Let's just say that maybe God came together through the form of evolution. Well, what is that? Evolution, in one sense, argues that all the matter in the universe came together somehow. No one really knows why or how. And then exploded. That's the Big Bang Theory part, if you believe that one. I mean, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that that's their concept. We have to ask this question. Where did all the matter? And by the way, the matter in the what? Where did the universe come from? We still have, no matter which side you want to go with this, you have to land on a place that says something or someone existed before us. And what we have is a Bible that tells us and backs up its evidence throughout history and prophecy and everything else. So I would argue that the most logical conclusion is God has always been. See, sometimes we kind of feel like it's not fair to ask somebody to believe that. I'd say it's not fair to ask someone not to believe that, wouldn't you? If you can just walk them through their own argument, because some people will really just use that excuse, I just can't believe that God's always been, and therefore, I really can't believe in God. So, well, let's just walk through your evidence and see what you have to suggest something better. And there is nothing there. And so we have to walk through either someone existed before God and created him, but then we don't have the answer for where did they come from, or something happened and it existed before God, but we don't have the answer for where that came from. So we have to agree that somewhere before this world began, something else existed. And the logical answer is what? It's God. Let's do it again. It's what?
God.
It's God. That's the logical answer. So we're asking the question, is it logical to believe that God did not have a beginning? And we would say, yes, that's a very logical conclusion to come to. Don't y'all feel better about believing in God now? Already. You're learning something. You're learning how to go back out and actually have a conversation with people about that. Not to shy away from those things. You're actually learning how to talk to children about it and understand as well. Now, they're not going to understand all of that, but you do have something to stand on with. And it helps us to take the Bible and say, wow, you know what? This Bible. Because the more we learn in arguments like this or discussions like this, the stronger our faith is. And the less we feel that we're some kind of person that should be pushed off over here and that science rules the world and they have all the answers, they do not have all the answers. They have answers. They don't have the answers. We do. It's called the Bible, the Word of God. So let's look at some of those things that we learned there. Here's what I want to do. Genesis chapter number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, what? God. And if in the beginning God, if he can be eternal, what else can he do? He can create the world. You see how logic just keeps following through? And so here we find that we have a God who is eternal. And once we settle on the fact that we can believe in an eternal God, it's not hard now. Matter of fact, it's very logical to believe that an eternal God can create the world in which we live. You see, if he wasn't eternal, then He had a beginning, and he has limited power. But because he's eternal, he does not have a beginning. He has eternal power. Now it's not hard to believe that this God who has always existed is the God who created the world in which we live, because we've already come to the conclusion he was around before our world. He's eternal, so he's going to be around after our world. So how is it hard to believe that this same God created our world? It's not hard at all. And the Bible is the only thing that tells us this. And so as we look, we find now that it's not hard to believe that there's a God that's eternal, and that that same eternal God is the same God who created the world in which we live, and he created you, and he created me. Let's see where else this stuff takes us. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, he created the heaven and the earth. And I will say this, the God who creates the world is the God who what?
Controls
the world. Some people kind of feel that maybe God doesn't really control things. And, you know, he's just there. But he doesn't have the ability. Have you ever felt like, and I'm not asking you right now at this point in time, do you feel like God can't control the situation you're in? Because every one of you would say that you do. Like, oh, I know God's got everything under control. If that was true, you wouldn't have the stress and worry that you have on your life. Okay, preacher. Are y'all with me on that? The real faith in God eliminates a lot of the stress and worry that we have in our life. Why? Because we believe that there's a God, he's eternal, he created everything, and he controls everything. I talked to our young people today. The question kind of came up, something in this realm came up in the Sunday school as Noah was teaching, and we kind of brought it up, and it was like, how does your faith in God kind of affect world events, things that you're seeing? So I asked them about global warming. You know, there's a big battle today about global warming. There's a big fear about global warming. There's people that's literally scared. I mean, just frightened about global warming. And I asked him, I said, how does your faith about God, you know, deal with that? So one of our young men answered and said, well, I know we're not all going to die from it. And I said, okay, now how do you know? He said, because, you know, the Bible tells us that we're going to be around. God has his purpose and his plan. Understanding, and that's a biblical worldview. There's an eternal God. He created this world. You know what? He controls this world. Now, I did consent to them. It doesn't mean that there's not negative effects to what we do with the world in which we have. We ought to try to take care of the world in which we live. But I want you to know this. This world's not going to cease to exist until God brings it to an end. Why? Because God controls it from the beginning to the end. Everlasting to everlasting. He is God. And he's going to control all things. And not only this world will not fall apart without God, I want you to know something. Your world. And what I mean by that is your life. This world in which you live. These things that take place in your life. God can control those things as well. I'm going to tell you something. That is one of the greatest things that you'll ever know as a Christian. As a person in this world to walk through this life and know that there's a God who created me. He's everlasting. He's eternal. And he controls the world in which I live. Do you know why we pray to God? Because we believe that God controls the outcome of things in this world. And so we go to God, logically, and pray. And so one time, if you're trying to deal with somebody and they're not real sure about their existence of God, talk to them about prayer. Have you ever appreciated someone praying? Have you ever prayed yourself? Well, if you have, it's logical to believe that there's a God that controls the outcome of those situations. Isn't that true? And so today, as Christians, we need to look at this part and realize it is logical to believe that there's an eternal God. And if so, that eternal God is our Creator. And that same eternal God who created us can then control things in our life. And therefore we go to him and we pray. And that's why I say when we pray, you need to pray and remember and think about this God who created all things that you get to go to and pray to and watch God work in your life. Now, I say this all the time. God is not a magic genie. Just because God can control things, we don't rub him the right way. Some people think they say the right formula in prayer. It's like a magic potion. You know, poof, God's automatically abracadabra going to fix whatever's in our life the way that we want it fixed. That's not the way it always works, is it? No, God controls things. I gave an illustration earlier, and I'm going to come back to it. I gave it in our Sunday school. I talked to it about now. My wife, a couple weeks ago, had laryngitis. She was in the early part of her day, still in the 90-day period. Worried me very badly about her job. I started praying and said, Lord, they can let her go. She had been praying about learning this job. She'd been a little stressed about it. I mean, she loved it. She wanted to be able to get it, but it was just learning the job, doing the things. It was a little overwhelming. I guess it was a lot overwhelming. I don't know how anything's a little overwhelming. Just the word overwhelming means you overwhelm, right? I guess you can't like be a little bit over your head in water. You're either over your head or you're not, right? So that was part of her prayer. You know, help me with this job. Well, what happens next? She gets laryngitis, which puts us in a place where we're like, now we're worried about that. And can she do it? Her boss said, look, here's what I want you to do. She couldn't handle the phone calls because she didn't have a voice. She could listen to them, but she couldn't respond to them. And she said, I want you to do the filing. I want you to do the papers that have to be reviewed. I want you to do this part of it. And she did that for 2 weeks. And when she was able to go back to take phone calls, there was a complete difference in her. She had a different understanding about her job. She felt different. I could hear her on the phone. Her tone was different. Her confidence was better. When she would finish throughout the day, she was different. And here, me and her talked about it yesterday. It's like, you know what? Laryngitis wasn't a problem that we needed to go to God and like make God aware of and say, God, you know, my wife's got laryngitis and you need to fix that. God's up there going, I gave her laryngitis. Because I'm fixing her about the prayer she had about her job. In other words, what we come to see was a reminder of there's an eternal God who created us and he controls our situations. And he took control of that situation, which he was always in control of. And he brought an outcome that we didn't understand. He used a situation we didn't understand to bring an outcome that we'd asked for. That's what an eternal God does. That created. Do you see how believing that there's an eternal God who creates things and controls things makes life easier for us as Christians? And so let's look at something else. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 46, to whom will you liken me and make me equal? This is God sort of speaking, and he's saying, who will you make me equal? In other words, what kind of shape, fashion, form, how will you construct me? Compare me that we may be like. They, talking about those that make idols. Since they lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and make it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. In other words, what he's saying is that if they have an idol, they actually hire someone to do what? To make and build this idol. Then he says they bow down and worship this idol that, what? They built. Think about the privilege to have a God that created us versus a God that we created. How many of you ever made anything? Didn't always turn out the way that you thought, right? I'd hate to think I had to make my own God. I'd just be like, we're in trouble, you know? It's not going to work. I mean, we'd have to have some duct tape involved in it, wouldn't we? But we have a God that created us. He goes on to say this. They bear him upon their shoulder, which means what? They carry him. In other words, this God that they create cannot go from place to place unless they pick him up and take him there. It says they carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. Like, here, God, stay there. From his place shall he not remove. Why not? He can't. Because he was created. He was made. And now he says, yea, one shall carry cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. He's just showing the life of someone that doesn't worship the God, doesn't have the God that created him. He says, remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from what? How does God do that? From ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God says, I can tell you the beginning, I can tell you the end. And I'm the one that's going to make that happen. I'm the one that's going to bring the past. Why? Because I created all things. I control all things. I can do that because I'm the eternal God. That's what he's saying to us today. What an amazing thing. It says, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also God's going to do what God said he's going to do. He's an eternal God. Last, he says, hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. want to give you three things right now that are logical to conclude from this. We're not completely finished, so just stay with me. Here's three things that we can come to that we've agreed to. One, it is logical to believe that God is what? Yeah, y'all can say that a little bit better, because you know, we should be a little more excited about it. It's logical to believe that God is what?
Eternal.
It is logical to believe that, isn't it? Matter of fact, that means the opposite. It's illogical. It's not logical at all to believe that God's not eternal. Matter of fact, I would not want or need, have use for a God that's not eternal. If he has a beginning, he'll have what?
An end.
An end. It's not just I don't want to have that, it's that I don't have that. God is eternal. It's also logical to believe not only God is eternal, God who is eternal can do what?
Creates.
It takes an eternal God to do that. It's logical to believe that I was created by God, because he was here before I was. He created all things. Number three, it's logical to believe that God who creates is a God who
controls.
I never feel foolish about praying to God. I feel foolish when I don't. He controls. There is not a single thing that I could ask God to do that he cannot do. There's things he will not do. There's nothing that he cannot do. He can do all things. And when he doesn't do the things that I want him to do, it's because there's a reason. He's already declared the beginning. In from the beginning, he already knows there's a purpose, there's a plan. There's a purpose for my life. There's a place, a moment in time, a place in time, where I will breathe my last breath. It may be in many years, it may be in my sleep, it may be in peace, it may be in tragedy. But God knows. But not only does God know it, God has a purpose for it. God not only has a purpose for our life, he has a purpose for our death. He has a purpose for everything. He controls all things. Every situation in your life, God has a purpose for. There's a plan. Doesn't mean you're always going to see it and understand it. Doesn't mean you're always going to enjoy it. It means we can always trust him. There's a plan. And we're part of that plan. So these are three things right off that we know. God is eternal. Eternal God can create. The God who creates can control. Now, God not only creates and controls, he does something else. Can you see it there? What is it?
He creates.
What does that mean?
He talks to us.
Some people believe that God created this world, put it into existence, and then walked off, never thought about it again, doesn't do anything with it, keeps his hands off of it. You know, I got people I can think of right now, not you, people outside of here, I got people I can think of right now, they've started like a million projects and never finished one. Y'all know people like that? Don't look at them. They start. Some of y'all trying really hard not to look at each other. That's funny. They started many projects and never finished them. Some people think of God that way. There's literally a belief that God created this world, put it into existence, and he's moved on to other things. And this world's just going to, you know, like a spinning top, just one day going to just fall over. That's not God. He created it. He controls it. But you know what? He communicates to us. Notice just this in Genesis chapter number 2, the God who created everything in the beginning. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God did what? Now, when you look at that word command, you might just first like, oh, there goes the rules again. That's not the what we need to be taking from this. One, God was giving instruction for Adam's health or his well-being. But second, God commanded, meaning God communicated with Adam, didn't he? What if God would have created this world, created Adam, created Eve, there's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there's the tree of life, there's that danger of them touching that tree. What if God would have just took Adam and Eve, stuck them in there, and then walked off and never communicated to them that there's a danger? What kind of God would that be? Well, let's just go back to an illustration. We have parents here today. What if they took their children and stuck them in a room? And there's some danger in that room. And they just walked off, never warned them about it, left them in the midst of that danger. What's most likely going to happen? Tragedy, right? But God didn't just walk off. He communicated. God let Adam and Eve know, first of all, who he was. I'm God. I created you. Adam knew God. Eve knew God. And God spoke and taught them what was needed. He communicated. God communicates to us. What is the Bible? It's God's communication to us. Matter of fact, that's the communication we need to go to. A lot of times people think, well, I think God's telling me this. Well, let's go to the Bible and see if that's really what God's telling me. Because I promise you this, if what you think God's telling you contradicts what he's already said in his word, that's not what God's telling you. Because he doesn't contradict himself. And so here we find this here. He says, and God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So there's a God. Let's just go back through these again. There's a God. He's eternal. An eternal God can do what? Create. A God who creates can do what? And the God who controls also communicates. I'd say you're learning a lot about God today. You're being reminded a lot about God today. It's logical. Matter of fact, it's logical to obey the eternal God who created the world, controls the world, and communicates with this world. It's logical to obey him. You see, if I want my friends, my family, if I want you to obey God's word, I need you to believe and understand God's eternal. He created us. He controls. And he's communicated his commands to us. And that's the reason we should obey God. But you know what? It's logical to come to that place. You know why you obey God today? You know why you're here today instead of doing some other thing? Because you realize, you know what? It's logical to obey God. It's logical to believe God. It's logical to pray. And so today, as you leave here, you've got some information that's really going to help you. To walk with God this week, trust God this week, pray to God this week, worship God this week, obey God this week, and witness for God this week. We have all the tools needed and necessary. Today, I think it's an amazing thing that we have this opportunity.